Good morning and welcome to the Bible study. I'm Chuck Brackett. I was going to tell you this big long story about how we scheduled a guest for today's Bible study program and how it's time for the program to start. And the guest isn't here. I'm all by myself. And then I would say, April Fool! Except that it's true. So I guess that makes the joke on me. Well, good morning, by the way. Welcome to the Bible study. We had scheduled the Reverend Dr. Martin Nolan to be our Ask the Pastor guest here today. And word just came like about 90 seconds ago that he's out of town. So I don't know where we got our wires crossed, but he will not be here. So we'll see if we can come up with a pinch hitter. But, you know, I don't know that you and I can't do this program. I'll give you the telephone numbers here in just a second. But there's so much going on, particularly with the Terry Schindler Schiavo passing yesterday. Maybe you and I can just talk about what you think about this from the context of a biblical perspective. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join us here on our Bible study program, and Diane and Lance and everybody out there working on trying to find a pastor. We'll see how they do. The couple of things that are on my mind here today that I think are worthy of discussing. First of all, yes, we've talked about Terry Schindler Schiavo for months, and we're going to talk about that for months more in the media. Maybe not necessarily here on the Bible study, but in the media. But I have a question. I have a couple of questions. First of all, as I watched the media coverage and the way the various commentators were handling the question of the Schiavo case, I never saw, maybe you did, but I never saw anybody raise the objection that starving Terry Schiavo to death was playing God. I'm sure it got raised somewhere, but I never saw it. Maybe you did. It seems to me that a generation ago, one of the answers, one of the objections to pulling that feeding tube and starving and dehydrating Terry to death would have been that we're playing God. But apparently we have achieved such a high level of secularization in our culture that the situation being with all the secularization, that doesn't even matter anymore. Apparently, if an American judge or an American legislator or an American executive, governor, president, whatever it is, decides to kill somebody, that's okay from the God perspective. Is that not playing God? Is that not a problem? And the second thing I want to know is, where were the feminists on this particular issue? It seems to me that the worst nightmare for a feminist is a male who abandons his wife, starts a new life while he continues to act like he's married to Mrs. Schiavo. I would think that this would just outrage the feminists. Isn't this a man gone crazy, just doing whatever he wants, pulling plugs on people? But I never heard the feminists object to any of this. Well, anyway, how many of these people am I going to put on the radio here, Paul and Diane? Oh, they're just coming up with all kinds of people here for me. I think this is Pastor Chuck Spomer. Is this Pastor Spomer?
Yeah. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing well.
I'm in my car, and as I'm hearing you introduce the program, I'm thinking to myself, you know, one question I never heard answered is it right for a person to say, even if I'm not dying, withhold food and water from me? Apparently, Mrs. Schiavo was not dying from her condition. She was in a persistent vegetative state, whatever that may be, or even if she was. And yet she said, ostensibly said, when I get to that point, withhold food and water. I mean, is that even right? I don't know if anybody's even asked that question, much less answered it.
Well, I don't either, because the coverage was just so overwhelming. After a while, I think it's almost hard to process. Did you hear anybody ever say that it's wrong to play God?
I think I heard that one time.
Do you remember?
One time.
Do you remember, was it a clergyman who raised that perspective, or where that perspective came from?
See, if I'm not mistaken, it was. It was a clergyman who raised that question. You know, can this possibly be playing God? A person who says, now it's time to do this after 7 years of not doing it, you know. And the whole idea of the courts taking that up. Of course, you know, the legal question and the moral question get mixed up, unfortunately, and things that appear to be legal are assumed to be moral.
Well, in your mind, I mean, you're, if you will, forgive me for putting it this way, but you're old enough to remember a generation ago when I think one of the arguments would have been men do not have the right to take life. Only God has the right to take a life. That privilege is reserved for him. Have we crossed that boundary with the starvation and dehydration of Terry Schiavo?
Oh, I believe so. and I believe it's been crossed without much fanfare. It's been crossed without even much notice. And the unfortunate thing is that people are beginning to think that it is the right of the individual to do such a thing. But if I don't care for the particular quality of my life, now, admittedly, the quality of her life was severely impaired, but, you know, that's not the issue. I don't think the severity of the impairment of life or how bad the quality of life is. I think the question is always, am I dying or not? And if I'm dying and there's extraordinary means of keeping me alive, then that's one thing. If I'm not dying and I refuse the very thing which is going to keep me alive, food and water, is that not maybe playing God, but certainly is suicide.
Thank you, Pastor Spomer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Let me jump over here to my guest line, Pastor Richard Moore. Are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Is this Pastor Moore?
Yes, it is.
How are you today?
I'm okay. We somehow have a busy signal coming through me.
That's so. My fault here. I'm a one-man band here today. Is it gone?
Yep.
You're going to help me out a little bit here today?
You betcha.
We got some callers standing by. We'll go to those here in just a second, but I would like you to answer the question. I don't know if you heard Pastor Spomer, his response here, but the old, I guess it's an old-fashioned idea now that it's wrong for men to play God and take innocent human life. Now,
I don't think that's an old-fashioned idea. I think that's a biblical idea. I believe that Job tells us that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and that includes life. We don't have a right to decide when to end our lives. Our bodies were bought with a price, Scripture tells us.
I think it's old-fashioned in this sense, and that is that here in this debate, as this question lays right before us, and it lays before us for a couple of 3 weeks at least, and the entire culture, as it is reflected in our American media, has a chance to massage it and knead it and work the dough all through that period. I never heard anybody make this case. Pastor Spomer said he thought he heard it once. Nobody stepped forward and said, you can't play God.
Yeah, no.
Did you hear anybody make that
No,
case?
Actually, I didn't even hear it once, except myself, when I discussed it with people.
It used to be, as I think back when I was a younger adult, it used to be a compelling, a powerful argument.
And it
used to be the first argument.
The problem is, it still is a compelling and powerful argument, and it still should be the first argument. But what has happened is that the assumption is made, if the federal government or the state government gives you a right, it is therefore supersedes or trumps, if you will, everything else. A while back, the Supreme Court of the United States basically said that people have a right to discontinue any form of medical treatment or care that they are receiving, and that you can do that either by stating you want that yourself or by leaving a document to that end, so that when you can't talk, it will be followed. And ever since that ruling came down, people just assume that it is fine to decide for yourself when you're going to die and how you're going to die and what's going to be done or not done.
Do you think that there is present in our culture a backlash on the part of the American clergy? Do you think that clergymen were pounding the table saying you don't have the right to play God, but they just didn't get heard because the media didn't give them access? Or do you think that they weren't pounding the table?
I don't think they were pounding the table as a whole. We have come to a point where in the majority of Christian religions, or religions that purport to be Christian, they have moved so far from the uninspired Word of God and accepting Scripture as being the Word of God to accepting Scripture as containing the Word of God. And, you know, we have women being ordained, we have homosexuals being ordained, we have people marrying homosexuals, even though Scripture very clearly says that's wrong. How can you then, if that's your position, that, oh, well, not all of Scripture is normative, how can you then, if you are a clergy person, stand up and say, but on this point, you must do this, or you cannot do this? They've put themselves in a situation where if you don't accept Scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:20 as being God's Word completely, and all of it applies, then you find yourself in a position where you have no leg to stand on when someone says, well, I don't see it that way.
Pastor Moore, I'm inclined to call you Joshua here because you saved me. You jumped into the hot seat here. Can you stay with us the rest of the hour?
Yes, I can, actually.
Help me with some of these phone calls.
Very
good. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have one open phone line left. I see Pastor Tom Baker is calling in, probably to make trouble. Hey, Pastor Baker, you there?
Oh, yes.
You're going to ask me a real hard question that I'm going to now hand to Pastor Moore?
Yeah, I think I could.
Go for it.
I think, first of all, Pastor Moore is aware of the fact that our church hasn't taken a stand as to whether the removal of water and bread is a sin. And this idea of playing God is interesting because there's a lot of people who have put in their living wills what things ought not to be done, and I think we're giving the impression that that might be playing God also. I think there's not only going to be fear on the part of people who are fundamentally disabled, but also the many Christians who have put together living wills. And I think they're getting very confused right now as to where we're drawing the line as to play God or not play God. We already okay the removal of food and water in certain cases that I don't think any of us would consider to be a sin, such as the brain dead. When resuscitation or external means are taken away, they're also, the IVs are taken away also at that time, and I don't think any pastor is putting anyone under discipline for doing that. And I think the problem with the Terry Schiavo case is we really don't know if the facts we're hearing from either side are correct or not, and I'm kind of waiting for the autopsy because that's going to say quite a bit, according to some of the doctors I was listening to. So I'm not that comfortable right now in saying that playing God was going on there, particularly since our church hasn't taken a firm stand. We do make a distinction between active and passive euthanasia, but I'm not so sure that some people would think that this was just passive euthanasia.
I think I'm more confused than ever now.
Well, Tom,
thanks for the help, Tom.
Whoa, don't let him go away yet.
Oh, no, he's there.
Because the question that was asked me was, if a person isn't dying, do they have the right to choose to have to withdraw, to refuse food and water? And that would be suicide. If I am healthy today and decide from now on I'm not going to eat or drink anything, that's suicide. And that is playing God. And the church has spoken about that. I was not specifically asked what I think about Terry Schiavo. I have some pretty strong feelings about it. But we need to be careful about the fact that, like you said, we don't know all of the details.
Right.
But we do know that the only thing causing her death, apparently, and you're right, we may need to wait for the autopsy, is the fact that they stopped feeding her and giving her water. And since my fern can't live without food and water, you know, I don't consider food and water an extraordinary means. Everything needs food and water to live, and on both ends of life, we tend to need assistance in getting it. I would not withhold food and nutrition and hydration from an infant because it can't hold a spoon or is having problems learning how to suckle or is having problems swallowing.
Right.
I wouldn't on the other end of life either. I would allow the Lord to go ahead and take the person home at his time, not intentionally do something with the goal of ending a life.
Let's get some callers. Thanks, Tom, for the call.
Okay,
appreciate your input here. Let's get some folks here on the line. We got a car phone caller over here. 505-7850 1-800-730-2727. Lisa, you're on the Bible study.
Oh, hello there.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. My husband and I were just listening to you, and we were wondering, I agree about playing God, but at what point when they begin to put you on these machines or whatever, is that playing God?
The question needs to become, from my vantage point, and you are now listening to the opinion of a pastor,
mm-hmm.
I can't find in Scripture any mention of a respirator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The question becomes for me whether something is an extraordinary means and whether or not there is a hope of the person surviving, okay? And these are issues that are best not dealt with, to be honest, over the radio. But in all honesty, it seems to me that when we put food, hydration, and nutrition into the same group as a respirator or a heart-lung machine or a dialysis machine or even something like chemotherapy, we have changed that which is a normal part of sustaining life. All of us need nutrition and hydration. We have changed that and said that is somehow extraordinary to go to some length to feed someone. We don't think it's extraordinary when you have jaw surgery to mechanically mush up your food and give it to you through a straw. Right?
Right.
Because nothing can live without food and water. So for me, you know, I understand Pastor Baker's point and other people's point, but for me, the line in the sand is right at hydration and nutrition, because everything else one could argue is an either extraordinary means or is at least iffy as to whether or not it will be successful or even helpful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Food and water is necessary for me to survive today, for you to survive today, for every living person to survive.
When you withdraw
food and water, you are saying to that person, we're not going to sustain your life in a normal way, with those things that your life has always needed for sustaining.
Okay, but if the Lord deems that I no longer can eat and feed myself, is that, again, the Lord saying I'm going to die, or is that I need a machine to do it for me, or I need a tube to do it for me?
For me, and that's all I can say.
I need a machine.
My side of my understanding is that I would have to say that there is nothing extraordinary about going out of our way to get food into someone's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There is something extremely extraordinary about putting someone on a heart-lung machine. Do you know what I'm saying? If you take the heart-lung machine away because the body is not functioning properly, they will die immediately because the lungs can't sustain the breathing process because the heart is no longer functioning. That person is, in effect, already dead, and the machine is, quote, keeping them alive.
Right.
Giving someone food and water so that all of the systems in their body, which are still working,
uh-huh.
can continue to work, does not strike me as extraordinary.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Beverly. Beverly, you're on the Bible study. Good morning. Are you there?
Beverly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beverly in St. Charles. Is this Beverly? All right, maybe she went away. Oh,
I scared her.
Yeah. Let's talk to Jill. Jill in St. Louis, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You all have touched on this morning, but I'm a little confused about when, as Christians, we should let nature take its course and die without extraordinary means, or is it God's will for us, now that we have modern medicine, to do everything in our power to stay alive and let God take us when he wants to take us. Like, for instance, even if you're on, you know, for Terry, like for Terry Schiavo, for example, who knows how long she would have lived with the food and water. God might have decided to take her naturally tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's just confusing. When should you go all out and do everything in your power to stay alive? Because maybe that's God's will, because doctors are on this earth to help our sick bodies. Or should you just, like, for the Pope, for example, I mean, he's decided pretty much to stay in his apartment and you know.
And the Pope's apartment, remember, what have they done so far for the Pope? Because I was about to bring him up as an example.
I know that he has doctors around him. I'm at work. I haven't really
been
watching.
What they've done so far for the Pope, as of earlier this morning, because I'm not watching it now either, but what they did almost, a week ago, is he received a feeding tube.
Correct.
Why did he receive a feeding tube? Because he was having problems swallowing. Okay? He needs nutrition if everything else is going to get better, or if that's the only problem he has. The Catholic Church, and I don't agree with them on a regular basis, but the Catholic Church, I heard an archbishop come out and say, we do not consider sustaining life with the normal activities of normal daily living, like eating, like feeding a person and hydrating a person, to be extraordinary means.
Sure.
So he has chosen, and the Catholic Church has taken a position, though the Lutheran Church hasn't, that says food and water, even through a feeding tube, is not an extraordinary means. But the Pope has chosen not to necessarily participate in all the other things that may happen. Okay? So what is he doing? He is saying normal life requires food and water. We will give food and water. If everything else shuts down, then we accept that that is the Lord's will, that it's time to go.
I understand. Is it a sin to let nature take its course? I mean, because you're choosing your death.
What do you mean by letting nature take its course? If you are saying to me that withholding food and water is letting nature take its course, I don't believe that's letting nature take its course. That would be my argument. My argument there is that the only purpose in withholding food and water is to hasten death. Hasten. Not allow it to happen, to make it happen sooner.
Thank you, Jill.
You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
We've reached the bottom of the hour here. We're going to have to take our bottom of the hour break. Pastor Moore, you know, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, we didn't have the technology. We didn't have the medical understanding, I don't think, to put a feeding tube into somebody.
No, but you know what they did do 1,000 years ago? A little nun would sit next to you, or a nurse would sit next to you, and they would grind up your food as small as possible, and they would put the smallest amount possible in a spoon, and they would place it at the very back of your throat, and they would stroke your throat, and even people who are having problems swallowing could be fed that way if someone devoted themselves 24 hours a day to doing it, and people did.
Pastor Richard Moore has joined us here for an Ask the Pastor program. Those of you who are waiting, stay with us. We'll come to you right on the other side of the break.
Bible Study is supported by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people with resources for church, school, and home, Bible studies and commentaries for lay people and clergy, sheet music and reproducible activities for choir members and Sunday school teachers, an expanded children's department and gift shop. Whether you're a pastor, parent, educator, or church worker, you can count on Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people, and underwriting the Bible Study on Inspirational Christian Radio, AM 850 KFUO.
You're invited to Family Shield Ministries' annual fundraising dinner and auction, Sunday, April 10th at the Holiday Inn Viking Conference Center. The auction features gifts from $5 to $500. Why not get a group from your congregation to join us? To order tickets, donate a gift, or obtain information, call 314-772-6070. That number again is 772-6070.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? There is so much in St. John's Gospel telling us the story of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, demonstrating to us that this was all done to fulfill the Scriptures. The one thing that screams up from the chapters 18 and 19 is that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing and what would happen to him. In fact, he does and says everything to nail himself to the cross. But what's even more amazing are the scriptures that are still being fulfilled as his body is taken down from the cross and buried. St. John tells us what happened late on what we would call Friday night. Since it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate for their legs to be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it bore witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. For these things took place, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken, and another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. For the Jews, this would have been the afternoon when the lamb for the Passover Seder would have been slain, so that all could eat of it when they gathered around their tables at their homes that night. The sad moment at Golgotha would have been unmistakable to those who had heard John the Baptist preaching years before, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Lord, how joyful we can be, even on this Good Friday, when we can understand that you made the final sacrifice once for all. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, give us your peace. For we pray in the name of Jesus our Messiah, whose body was slain for our redemption. Amen.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive. The folks at Reliable Heating and Cooling remind you that during this in-between season, between the extremes of winter and summer, it's generally easier to arrange for a service checkup on your furnace or your air conditioner. That tip courtesy of Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive, a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO.
You're listening to the Bible Study, Ask the Pastor Friday. Pastor Richard Moore is with us today, Emmanuel Chapel in North St. Louis County. That's where Pastor Moore is the pastor. We are taking your phone calls on an open phone program, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you would like to join us with a question or comment, the question that's on the table, I've got a couple of questions on the table now. Whoever it was that decided that Terry Schindler Scheibel had to die, and I guess there were a lot of people who were in that loop, did they play God? Did they cross the line and play God? That's number one. And number two, where were the feminists? I would have thought that the feminists would have been outraged by the way Michael Scheibel conducted himself. I don't quite get that.
Can I add a question to that question?
You may.
I think the bigger question that needs to be asked in this entire discussion, from when we think about the questions that Lisa asked and issues that were raised by the other callers, is why is it that people would even consider removing hydration and nutrition? And I think the reason is because we as a whole do not like the notion that we might be called upon to suffer. And we think anything we can do to keep ourselves from having to suffer must be the thing to do. But if you recall, we have just now finished Holy Week. Jesus' suffering was not because he needed to suffer, it was to benefit others. And when someone is, quote, suffering, when we look at Terry Schiavo, I don't know whether she was in pain or not in pain. I hear all sorts of different things. But I do know that while she was still alive, God had the ability to accomplish whatever he chose to accomplish through her suffering, either in the lives of her or her family, or those around her. And one of the examples I can give is my own father. In 1991, he had a heart transplant at age 59 on January 21st. On April 6th, he died. My mother asked me after he died, why, if God was going to let him die of a heart transplant, after the heart transplant, didn't he just take him on January 21st? Why did he have to go through those 3 or 4 months? And in his case, I think I actually have an answer, because several days before he died, 2 to be exact, he turned to me and he said, for the first time in my life, I'm not in control of what's going to happen to me. I'm going to have to just trust God to do what's right. And I honestly believe that being the engineer he was and always in control and captain of his fate and master of his soul, that he had never learned to get beyond the knowledge about God, to truly trusting God to do what is best and to take care of him until that day. So had he died on January 21st, he may not have, in fact, had the saving faith that trusted God. He might just have had a knowledge about God. But 2 days after he understood that it was time to trust God to do whatever is best and whatever is right, and that he would accept that, the Lord called him home. Our suffering sometimes is so God can accomplish things in our lives or even in the lives of those around us. And it would occur to me that we need to be very careful about thinking we are being merciful as we do something like cut off food and water to someone who apparently is not living a quality of life that we would want, because we don't know what the Lord is accomplishing by the work of His Spirit in that person.
Let's take some calls here. And I don't know if Tom's still with us. He was on a car phone. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Way to hang in there. Tom, what's your question or comment?
Okay, I listened to Issues, et cetera, yesterday, and
yes,
that was very interesting. They talked about George Filos, Michael's lawyer.
Right.
And he's a right-to-die guy with a worldview. And Pastor Jim Smith read his book, Litigation and Spiritual Practice, said
mm-hmm.
he's a pantheist and he believes all things are God.
And he was leading the charge.
Yeah, and he led the charge for that right to die.
I hope, you know, we can't trust our mainstream media, but I hope that gets explored in something at a higher level than the National Enquirer and that those things come out, because that's very worthy, I think, of investigation. We ought to ask ourselves how his religious, if you will, views impacted this whole question, because I think we can say now with certainty that it was not a secular exercise, now that we know where the lawyer was coming from. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any comments, Pastor Moore?
Just that, I think that the easiest way to avoid, there are several things going on here, but I think a lot of us Christians are afraid that we might find ourselves being the Terry Schiavo of the year, you know, 2020 or something. But the way to avoid that is to have a durable power of attorney for health care, where a person who knows your beliefs and agrees with your beliefs and knows your faith, whom you trust, speaks for you because you have placed them in that position, because you have discussed it with them, and because they know what you believe and what you believe God would have you do.
505-780-5100, 730-2727. Where were the feminists? I don't get it. Let's talk to Kathy in St. Charles. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Bible study.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And, Pastor Moore, we've talked. You gave me the book, Thank You, Davy. Thank you, God.
Yes.
I did try to return it, and I never heard back, so I could still do that if you need it back.
Okay. Well, was it helpful?
Yes.
Good.
Pastor Moore knows, and I have called several times about our situation. My son has Down syndrome, and then he was later diagnosed at 5 with autism. And we had a lot of these issues when he was a baby. He had a large hole in his heart, a 7-millimeter ASD. He had breathing problems. He was in respiratory arrest several times, and in the hospital, then we were sent home with oxygen and a nurse that would come 3 times a week. We had a nutritionist come. We had an occupational therapist and a physical therapist come, and they all came weekly. The nutritionist came like 2 times a week. And we had a hard time finding a physician who would work with our family. We had to go through till we found a physician who was willing to deal with all of my son's issues of reflux and the heart problems and the breathing problems. And we went through 4 pediatricians because some of them just did not want to treat him. And I think it was because he had Down syndrome and they just looked at him like,
why bother?
Why bother?
Yep.
And you know, before we had him, we had genetic counseling. They weren't sure that he was going to have Downs. They couldn't tell by the ultrasound, but they did say that if we were, and this was at a, you know, Catholic hospital here in St. Louis, that if we wanted to, we could have an abortion, and they wouldn't do it, but they could refer. They said 90% of those who think they have a child with this genetic problem do abort. And, you know, you just don't get a lot of times support when you have children with special needs, not sometimes from the church either, because people look at you like as if maybe you've done something wrong to deserve this. You know, you get it from the medical community as well. And it's a difficult issue to deal with, and you do have the doubts, are we trying too hard? And my son's doing a lot better now, and he's healthier this year than he's ever been. But he also has been through a lot medically, tested for cystic fibrosis because of all of his mucus problems and sleep apnea problems, and on it goes. But he is he's a healthy little boy. He's, you know, very strong for his age. He's bigger than most children with Downs. And he is learning, you know, even though people said, you know, he, being severely autistic, that he, you know, he's not given a very good chance. There is hope, even though everything may seem like it's against you at first. And the hole in his heart closed on its own, so that the cardiologist said that was a miracle. And he said, I guess I don't ever need to see you again in here. And they were utterly shocked. And, you know, but then he had continued to have breathing problems. So why God healed one thing and didn't heal other things, you know, I don't know. But okay. The Lord knows.
Well,
and it is a matter of trust.
Thank you.
Just
Kathy.
One question for you before you go, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that your faith is stronger or weaker as a result of
and
having
there was that trust factor. I can remember very much telling my husband, you know, how scared I was with all of these things and how I don't want to have to trust God that much, not in this life. I was hoping that I could do that in eternity. And my husband said, Kathy, you can't say that. You have to trust him now.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Pastor Moore, reaction?
Well, see, I know Kathy, and when I had spoken to her before, she was having a problem seeing at one point her son as a gift from God. And that's why I shared with her the book, Thank You, Davy, Thank You, God, which was written by another mother who had had a son with similar problems, who came to realize that this child was a special gift of God to her and how God had touched her life and what a blessing it was to have this child with special needs. And I think sometimes that what we're really doing is we're saying to ourselves as a society, we don't want to have to deal with pain or sorrow or trials or problems or disabilities or illness. So we're going to make it, we're going to pretend as though when those things happen, those people are already gone and no longer need our compassion and our help. And I commend Kathy for and her husband for what they are doing. I pray God's blessing upon them and their son. And I really think that she's an example of why it is that, you know, even if you look and say, okay, we're not going to do the respirator thing again, why food and water should not be withheld, because, you know, the cardiologist said the heart couldn't be healed, and it healed itself.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. We get some open phone lines now. Let's talk to Barbara in St. Louis. Hi, you're on the Bible study.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. The previous caller, Jill, is actually my daughter, and we've talked about this at length, and I think what she was trying to say is that in light of the century we live in and the medical advancements, and are we required to, you know, do dialysis or chemo or transplantation of organs or ventilators, or can we just be a partner in our care and say, I don't want these things, you know, I you know.
Okay, maybe you didn't catch what I was trying to say, because everyone is sort of focusing on the food and water thing. I think that chemotherapy, if you look at what it is you're poisoning your body. That's what a doctor will tell you. You're poisoning your body, and you hope that the cancer dies before it kills you. If you choose not to poison your body in hopes that the cancer dies before it kills you, I don't think God requires us to do that. I don't see anything in Scripture that says that's a necessity. So that's a choice you get to make. I think that's true of things like dialysis. Dialysis, you agree to dialysis, you agree to all the problems that come along with dialysis. In a lot of ways, and my father had a heart transplant, but I personally wouldn't have one. Because you trade one set of problems for a whole new set of problems. okay?
Right, right.
But where I'm drawing the line, but I'm not telling you don't do that. I'm saying those are things that are not clearly required or forbidden by Scripture, okay?
Right.
I'm drawing the line at food and water.
Well, of course, that's basic. I think she meant the extraordinary things.
But
you know.
The problem is the person before her had said a feeding tube was extraordinary.
No, I don't agree with that.
And I don't agree with that
right.
either. But I think that's our problem right now is that people, you know, if you say you don't have to do, quote, extraordinary things, then you have people saying, well, it's extraordinary to feed a person this way. It's extraordinary to give a person range of motion exercises. It's extraordinary to sit beside a person who has had a coma for 15 years. I don't think any of that's extraordinary.
Right. Okay, so, you know, you can, as a Christian, you just prayerfully
consider
and options,
hopefully
and
you have
just,
a relationship with a pastor who can love you but be dispassionate and look at it and help you weigh the positives and negatives of either and look at the question as to whether or not there is something in Scripture that could help inform it and then let you make the decision because where God has not spoken, we in the Lutheran Church, especially the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, do not make doctrine where God's word does not clearly speak.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Here's another car phone caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mary, you're next.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my mother had strokes and was very sick, and I took care of her for a year in my home. And finally, she became really ill, and we had to rush to the hospital, and I prayed, please, God, don't let her die. And I begged him. And, of course, she hung on. And all of a sudden, I realized, what am I doing? And when I said to God, thy will be done, she died. And I think that that's a lot of people's problems. You know, we want the people here because
you know, we love them.
Right. And I think until we realize, we've got to say, thy will be done, God's will be done. You know, I think this girl taking away her sustenance was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I really think that they should have fed her because I think God's will would have been done in that girl's life.
Absolutely. The thing that
thanks, Mary.
That strikes me, Mary, is about what you have just said is that that needs to be our prayer all the time when it comes to the health issues or the suffering issues or the end-of-life issues that we are confronted with in our society. We need to individually turn and ask the Lord to have his will done, and then we need to follow what we believe God would have us do to accomplish that based on his word. Just a point that I think I forgot while I was sharing the story of my father, he was on a feeding tube when he died. God is more than capable of calling home one of his children who has been fed in the morning as he is of calling home one who has not been fed. You don't stop God from taking a person to himself by feeding them.
We got a bunch of calls left here, Pastor.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. I feel the tension of the clock here. We go to Sharon. She's calling on her car phone. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Bible study.
Hi.
Good morning.
I think we need to make a distinction. Terry was not dying. She was severely disabled, and they by taking withholding the food and water, they killed her.
Yeah, they caused her death.
Right. When somebody is terminally ill and they're at the end stages of their life, food and water are not beneficial. They're harmful. You wouldn't put a feeding tube in somebody that's dying because they have cancer or a super infection that's just taken over their body and there's no way of helping them. In those cases, you allow them, if they're able, to step, you know, because that happened to my mother.
Sure.
We did not put a feeding tube in her at her end stage of life, although, you know, she stopped eating and she stopped drinking and we didn't push it on her, but she was dying, and Terry wasn't. I think that needs to be a distinction
okay.
A lot of people are concerned about.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Any comments, Pastor?
Well, I would agree. You know, that was the question you were that Pastor Spomer raised. He said, you know, this woman was not dying.
Was she murdered?
Yes.
505.
In my opinion, I don't think that's even a question. She was absolutely murdered. Someone took a positive action to cause death and succeeded. That's the definition of murder.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Sandy, you're next. Good morning.
Hi. I don't want to be contrary with the term that Pastor is using, extraordinary, but in a legal sense, I believe artificial is also included in that, and tubes are artificial means of feeding. And I would stand to be corrected, but under Florida law, as I've heard the discussions going, again, correct me if it's wrong, that is considered an artificial form of feeding.
Okay, but you're talking legal definitions, and I'm talking moral definitions.
Well, Pastor, you know, we are beholden to the law.
Yes, we are, but that doesn't mean that your living will can't say, do not withhold food and water from
me,
which is my point.
Oh,
my point is that you need to have very clearly stated, or you need to have a person who understands, who you trust to be your durable power of attorney for health care.
I agree.
So that this doesn't happen.
The fact that
what they did was legal does not make it moral.
Absolutely, Pastor. I'm just saying the confusing aspect, and I think you or someone else had brought up feeding infants, that we do go to an extraordinary means to feed infants because they can't eat. But what about the children that are born without an esophagus and a digestive system and have to use artificial tubing? I don't know of any personal cases, but I don't know if children are kept on artificial feeding to sustain their body. And these are just very crucial things that I think people have to work through, and I appreciate your comments.
Well, one of the things with children like that is often what they will do is attempt to do that very thing, because I've had a couple of cases like that where I've dealt with families like that, and what they do is they will put down tubing and try to do that, and then they'll try to build the esophagus through surgery. Sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. But very seldom do you just, and in society today it's happening more, but it used to be that whatever needed to be done to save the life of a child at birth was done. And with our new, let's face it, whole view after the Roe v. Wade decision, where children are now becoming expendable unless they are perfect, unless they are convenient, it would not surprise me if there were things like that going on. But we as Christians cannot say, because it happens, I have the right to choose that.
Here's a caller from O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Bill. You're on the Bible study.
Yes, I'm afraid the last caller probably covered the point I wanted to get your reaction to, or at least to spread the word among the public. I think on Todd Wilkins' program, the gentleman said that the American Medical Association considers a feeding tube a medical procedure, and therefore, like the lady said just before me, that an artificial means. But people should know that, it seems to me, on a widespread basis.
Right. They need to know that so that they don't use that vague terminology while they're doing their end-of-life directives. Okay?
Yeah.
Because if you put artificial means, then to be perfectly honest, if you say you want no artificial means, if you say you don't ever want to be put on a respirator, I hope you're ready to die of appendicitis.
Uh-huh.
Because if you have any type of surgery where they put you, quote, out, where they use general anesthesia, you are on a respirator during that general anesthesia.
Yes.
So don't tell anyone that you don't ever want to be on a respirator unless you're ready to die of appendicitis or gallbladder.
Well, I think in this case it would be they have to make a precaution to
say,
get around the word extraordinary medical procedures.
All you have to do is say, do not withhold hydration and nutrition.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, and that's my point. My point is that, yes, we have to, as Christians, work our way through this maze of legal jargon, but the point is either you believe that this is a thing that is abnormal and you don't want it done to you, or you believe that feeding and hydrating a person is something that has to happen every day. You know, oddly enough, during this hour conversation, I've gone through 2 glasses of water. I don't think it's extraordinary that I would go through 2 glasses of water in an hour. And I think if I'm lying in a coma, that someone needs to be making sure that I'm getting my two glasses of water.
Pastor Moore, you said that Terry Schiavo was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody going to have to stand before God and give account for that at some point in the future?
Unless they come to faith in Christ, somebody will have to.
Is there a clergyman or a denomination or a religious entity somewhere who should be calling these people who participated in this murder to repentance?
I think we should be calling all of America to repentance where it comes to our dealing with life issues. We have said that children and young, infants before birth and adults when they become older and frail are expendable. That's the basic prevailing
I think most of
way
us agree
that
with
society
that.
Deals with them.
But I'm asking, if there is no call from official, and by official I mean people who hold clerical offices, whether they're pastors or whether they're denominational leaders, if there is no call for repentance on the part of the people who participated in the murder of Terry Schiavo, what does that say to us?
That says that we are not doing our job. But it doesn't need to be a public call. As a matter of fact, the call needs to be made individually by those, especially if in Michael Schiavo's case. If he's a member of a church, his pastor should be calling on him, should be talking to him, should have been talking to him for the last 7 years. But it's the individuals who know them, the individuals whose lives are touched by them, who are Christians, who should raise this issue and should share not only the questions of whether or not this was correct and whether there's a need for repentance, but also the assurance that if there is repentance and when there is repentance, there is also forgiveness in Christ.
From a biblical perspective, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Is Michael Schiavo guilty of murder?
I believe he is.
We are at the end of our program. I wish we had more time. Thank you, Pastor Moore, for helping bail me out here. I appreciate your jumping into the hot seat there, and God's blessings to you.
And you too.
Pastor Richard Moore helping us out here today on our Bible study program for Ask the Pastor. We will continue in 1 Corinthians next time here on our Bible study program. Thanks for all the good phone calls. Appreciate it.
Listen to Chuck Rathert and guest Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a cassette copy of The Bible Study, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of the Jubilee Network.